Welcome back to the Puma Podcast, guys. We are wrapping up our Real Love series.
We are wrapping it up. I'm Puma.
And I'm Tori.
Yes, you are.
We're glad you guys are here today.
We are wrapping up love.
Love, yeah. Love. 1 Corinthians 13.
1 Corinthians 13. You know, we've gone through all the different descriptions that Paul has in those three verses there in the middle of 1 Corinthians 13. And then, you know, verse 8 begins with, love never fails. Love never fails.
Solid. Good choice.
It is. Yeah.
Guaranteed.
So when all else fails, choose love. So that's where we are today. We, you know, as we kind of finish, we like to just kind of do a recap and go over just really briefly all the different descriptions. You know, we've been talking about God's heart of love as is described here in 1 Corinthians 13. The word is agape, which is others-oriented love.
Yeah, sacrificial.
And these are all different descriptions or ways that agape raises its head, how agape shows itself, how agape is lived out. And they're all really descriptions of how we see Jesus loving in the New Testament and how we see God actually loving people throughout the Old Testament.
And I've come to learn, even through the series, for myself, a lot of these aspects of love, the words I say really reveal my heart. You know, I say things, you know, love isn't rude. Well, that was kind of, you know, or love isn't pushy. Love is patient. I was really kind of pushing my own agenda, you know, or love, you know, it always protects. I was protecting me, not you, with what, and I said that. And I realized for me, Tori, a lot of the things that I can apply, a lot of it has to go with not my intentions, but the words I say, you know? So I don't know where you guys are at, but I found this series really helpful, Puma.
Yeah, I found it really good. So let's jump in and do a quick little recap, shall we?
Yeah, let's highlight
the highlights.
This is the ESPN highlights of 1 Corinthians 13.
Yes, we don't have theme music unless you can put that in. I don't know how that works.
Oh, probably not.
Okay.
Yeah, that was interesting music intro there. Yeah. So here we are. We are, in fact, highlighting, overviewing all we talked about in this series. And I'm excited. So I guess real off the cuff, as we dive into 1 Corinthians 13, if you had to summarize kind of all these points into one sentence, what would that look like for you?
Well, if I were to summarize everything in one sentence, that this is really describing the heartbeat of God. And it's something that you and I don't possess in ourselves, that we need to actually stay connected to Jesus and let the love that he has for us flow through us in these ways. So these are all great descriptions, and they're great, let's say, they're great things to seek after,
to aim for.
But we know that we're tempted to, you know, selfishly or sinfully to not do any of these. You know, my life really reflects the opposite of almost all of these. The encouragement for me and for us is we'll just kind of recap and just highlight, you know, kind of each one real quickly. But, you know, all of us are tempted, you know, because some of us, maybe we do better at not keeping a record of wrongs, but we're very prideful in that. Our temptation, you know, just because I don't struggle maybe specifically with one of these doesn't mean that I'm a loving person. Right. And I think sometimes that's the false idea that, well, because I'm super patient doesn't mean that I'm not proud.
Yeah, true.
And so it's all encompassing. It's not piecemealed out. So this is love.
Yeah. Well, I like, even before you dive into that, I like how you said, this is what God is for us. You know, Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus is not self-seeking. That's who he is. Love is who the heart of God is.
Yeah,
so that's great.
Just read it, right?
Let's do it.
Yeah, so Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. He is not rude. Jesus is not self-seeking.
That's a huge,
because
one person who could be legitimately perfect,
the one who deserves,
who's literally God.
Yeah. Jesus was not easily angered, kept no record of wrongs, did not delight in evil, but rejoiced with the truth. Jesus always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always persevered. And then verse 8, love never fails. Jesus's love did not fail.
Yeah. Jesus never fails.
Jesus never failed because his love accomplished exactly what it set out to do.
That's great.
Yeah. So we love them. We're with them. Relationships and life. So he says, love is patient. You know, when we talked about that, you know, love wasn't pushy.
Yeah.
Right.
Didn't pursue its own ways at the expense of other people.
Yeah. You know, it says love is kind. I show kindness. It's not just I'm a kind person, but it's showing kind when someone was not kind to me.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. You know, the idea behind that is, you know, when someone has wronged me, I still am going to be kind, not get even with them.
Yeah.
See,
yeah. It doesn't, you know, real love overcomes evil with good.
Right. See, the world says it's about being nice. Mm. No, it's about showing kindness to those who aren't kind back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It says love does not envy, is not envious there. So what was sort of the big idea behind that?
Yeah, well, first, love is content with what God's given, but love does not, well, I mean, to define envy, right? That love sees what other people have and is happy for them, rejoices with them rather than covetousness.
Yeah, and it's not jealous, right?
Yeah.
I'm not jealous of what someone has. You got that for Christmas? I didn't get that for Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, it's happy for other people. It sees what God's given them and is happy for them, not complaining. Yeah, love does not boast. A huge statement, because I don't think boasting is always verbal. but oftentimes boasting, you know, let me just highlight my rewards I have on, you know, on this plaque that I happen to have. And, you know, I'll take a be real, but in the background, you can see my, you know, plaque on the wall or whatever, right? I mean,
right.
Boasting is highlighting what you've accomplished and letting people know about it.
Yeah, with all these expressions of agape love, it's always others-centered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I boast, I want the eyes on me instead of where my eyes focused on the concern or what's beneficial for you. You know, so it's very self-focused, which kind of leads into the next one. Where
yeah.
It says love is not proud.
Right. Yeah. And this is more of the heart condition. Even if I don't necessarily go out and, oh, you know, let me share with you all things I have, I got, I won, I achieved. It's even, I wish I was a center.
Yeah.
It's more of a hidden behind the scenes, but a heart of pride really is self-focused, whether it's expressed or not. Mm-hmm. It's a desire.
It's having this, you know, inflated view of myself. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, you know, to view myself, not to view others, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's fine to take pride in things,
right?
You know, to boast, you know.
But it desires a spotlight
at
the expense of others.
Love is not rude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rudeness.
Yeah.
For me, it's a word thing in terms of expressed, but it is a lack of concern or care for others.
Yeah.
Really a concern for myself at the expense of others.
Yeah, around the dinner table, we're all sitting there before even say grace, say a prayer, someone just reaches across my plate and grabs something on the other side. They're being rude, right?
Yeah.
Part of the description there was, you know, people have bad manners, right? We just are not considerate of the people around us.
Yeah.
Right? I'm very, you know, not thinking about others.
Right.
Being a rude person. Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
Well, and I mean, like the other, you know, some other translations, love, you know, it does not dishonor others. You know, this idea of I'm going to put you first and to honor someone, you know, to not be rude there in verse 5, like, I don't want to dishonor you. So what does it look like to honor someone? You know, and I think we all would know what that looked like if your favorite celebrity or, you know, I don't know, the president, whoever, someone of honor walked in, you would treat them with that respect. And we don't do that. And that it's rude to not do that for others, which is so interesting. So love does not dishonor others.
Yeah. And again, you know, that leads into love is not self-seeking.
Mm.
And so many of these first descriptions are all self-focused, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is the exact opposite of what agape love is. It should be others-focused.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, this idea of self-seeking is really seeking what's best for me at the expense of someone else.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's nothing wrong with being concerned about myself. It's unloving when I'm concerned about myself at your expense, right? I mean, that's the self-seeking. That's where it becomes a sinful, non-loving.
Yeah. And yeah, it keeps no records of wrongs. That is such an interesting, if you want to kill a marriage, just do this. Just keep a record and bring it up every other time that they have a conflict. But to keep a record of wrongs, I mean, that's not only is that probably steeped in bitterness and you know, just a jadedness, but it's like, it's almost like you like, oh yeah, you messed up. That's right. You enjoy bringing up past sins, a lack of forgiveness, because you have a record of it. When someone offends you, I'm adding that to the tally in my bookmark because, you know, that you wronged me there. I'm going to remind you of your weakness and your sin.
Yeah.
That's evil.
It's this idea of taking a mental picture list so I can bring it up later when it's convenient.
Yeah. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Not that I'm guilty of that. Maybe today. Yeah. Not easily angered or provoked, right? Mm. I mean, we live in a world where it's almost a right to be offended by something, right? Mm. To be offended by things, to be irritable, to express your irritability. But, you know, to not be easily angered is not provoked about things done to or against me.
Mm-hmm.
And see, again, this is all about love relationships. It's not that we can't get angry, but when someone does something to hurt me or harm me, or someone does something intentionally, I do not have to express that that anger towards them.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's such a weird, yeah. You know, the proverb says, a wise man overlooks an insult and is not easily offended. And you're right, which is so interesting because to get offended easily, to get upset easily is actually an act of it being unloving. Which is so interesting. The heart of love goes beyond a verbal, literal expression or action. But the fact that I'm offended means I value myself, my dignity, my honor more than you. And what you said affects me. It's really a self-love. Like you said, it's a selfishness.
Yeah. You know, then he gets into, does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea that love really never takes satisfaction with sin or someone's sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this idea that, because we live in an evil world, we can't escape the evil world in the sin within us. But we live in a world today that kind of glorifies evil behavior, right? Like kids at school, someone is being disrespectful to the teacher and everybody laughs.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That is really delighting in evil, not rejoicing in the truth. And it's so easy to fall into that in so many different categories.
Right. You know? I would even say, even in contrast to the next verse, verse 7, but verse 6, you know, to protect evil, right? Where you see it, but you may not say, oh yeah, I'm so glad that kid was like bullied, but to not do anything and to protect the evilness rather than to champion truth and righteousness. You know, I think part of delight in evil is to overlook or protect it, to not call it out, to not deal with it, right? Because, you know, again, does not delight, but rejoices in the truth. Do we champion and value truth, right? I mean, do we protect and guard that which is true, or do we protect and rejoice in that which is not true, which is evil?
Mm-hmm. Which gets into the stego way, which
the
love,
stego way.
Love always protects.
Yes,
yeah.
love the stego way. Yeah, and it's not just physical protection. To really love, real love, God's love, it's relational. Stego is a relational word. I love you the stego way. I will protect you physically, but I'm going to protect you if someone's slandering you. I'm going to protect you if someone is misusing or casting shade on your character, because I protect you. If someone is back talking or saying evil things about my wife, you bet I'm going to protect. And I'm not maybe going to smack him in the face, but I will protect because love protects. And I want to protect the honor of my wife because I love her.
Because we tend to protect ourselves at the expense of other people instead of protect other people at the expense of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And see, this again, this is kind of love that is other-oriented. It's an other-oriented love. You know, so love always protects, which leads into love always trusts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these last few kind of get into a little more nuanced. You know, love always trusts. And it's not so much that, you know, this person is a thief, so I'm going to let them hold my wallet. That's not the kind of trust. But we live in a world that says, I'm going to assume the worst in you when I meet you.
Mm-hmm.
instead of trust what you say until proven wrong, I'm going to assume that you're wrong until proven right.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the idea that love always trusts.
Yeah, you know? Giving the benefit of the doubt.
Give someone the benefit of the doubt, right? You know, and to lead with that, not with the opposite of what our culture, you know, is. Which leads into the next one, love always hopes, right? So sometimes relationships, that trust is broken, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it is broken and you're thinking, oh no, we're done, right? This is done. And, you know, this loving always hopes. There's a, because of Jesus, because of the gospel, because the love that we have is not self-generated. It's the love that God has for us. It is that there is hope in this relationship, that this failure isn't final.
Yeah.
You know, it's the kind of love that God has for us. God did not let our sin be final. The kind of, if you could say that God had hope or this expectation that it is eventually going to work out because God is going to work it out.
Yeah. It's a hope that no matter what brokenness or hurt or circumstance you are in, probably relationally, that God is bigger than what we suffer.
Right.
And we have a higher hope that goes beyond our temporary earthly hurt or harm.
Right. You know, in the church, you know, those of us that are in Christ related to each other, doesn't mean that we always get along.
Right.
And just because we don't get along, it doesn't mean that when there's a fracture in the relationship, that this relationship is final. Mm. That I love always hopes, you know, and trusts, you know, that God is going to fix this and work it out.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a hope that goes beyond our circumstances, and God wastes nothing.
Right.
We have put our hope in Him that God can redeem.
Yep. Which leads then to the, you know, the last one, love always perseveres or always endures. We talked about last time.
Yeah.
And, you know, with this one, Tori, what's the big idea?
Yeah. Love doesn't quit. Love chooses to persevere in the relationships that God has brought into their life. Love chooses to love them where they're at and not force a relationship, but chooses to persevere and take the hit.
Yeah. To hold the line.
Yeah.
You know, when everything seems to be crumbling. Yeah.
Yeah. And the hope behind that too, you know, obviously this verse 7, but even going back to Galatians 6:9, right? That do not grow weary in doing good, because doing good is wearisome. It's hard. It takes perseverance. And the fruit of that God, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. And there's an eternal side, eternal blessing here too, that we don't see what God is doing in the background. Maybe we persevere for 20 years with a neighbor that hates us, a church member who's just disgruntled, and who knows that God is doing something behind the scenes because love doesn't give up.
Yeah.
Love perseveres.
Yeah. So this is love. This is the description that really in the midst of 1 Corinthians, of all books, that this would be located in.
Yeah,
you know,
messed up church.
Yeah. If you read through 1 Corinthians and some of the things going on, that love was hard. To love is hard because it means that I have to be others-centric, not self-centric. I have to think of others. And this is the heartbeat of God. God, who deserves everything, is thinking of us and what is best for us and always pursuing that. And that the kind of love. We had talked about the Old Testament Hesed love, the New Testament Agape love, the heartbeat of God. So for all of us, as we've been going through this, you know, how has your relationships been over the last, 3-4 months as we've been looking at the different ways that we are encouraged to love and to seek to love?
Yeah.
Because honestly, some of us are tempted in some areas and not others.
Right.
Where are your struggles in loving those around you?
And we all have them, right?
We do.
I've got multiple.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, this whole list, I need to level up in my walk with Christ and realize that I can be very selfish and for all the quote right reasons. Like, I'm selfish for ministry, I'm selfish for this, and I want to serve here.
Well, and I can think that, well, I got easily angered under control, and then I don't.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's very easy to take pride in some of these things, thinking, oh, I got this under control.
Right. I argued my way out of someone's bad theology. And even though I was right and they heard the truth, I crushed them and their relationship with them is maybe over. That's, you know, to be wise on speaking the truth in love is so important here. And it's been, and honestly, if I can ask a question to you, Puma, and to those listening, you know, what has been the thing that through this series of Real Love, what has been one or two of the things that really challenged you that you found helpful? And I would encourage you and ask you guys, if you would reach out to us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com, we'd love to hear from you. What was the thing or two about it as we read verses, you know, 4-7? What were some of the things about love that really stuck out to you that God used to challenge you? We would love to get some feedback on this.
Right. Our prayer is that we as a church, as people, would grow to love one another and to love people more and more like Jesus.
Yes.
And our world certainly needs it, and we certainly need it. But it seems like this kind of love, even in the church today, seems to be going further and further away from us. And so I just want to you know, encourage you. And our prayer is that, you know, you would really be challenged to love and to not give in to the temptation to think of yourself first, but to be others oriented.
Yeah. Yeah. And really this is a challenge for us, because it is so easy, even as pastors here, like it is so easy for us to assume that our intentions and our actions are loving. And maybe it's selfishness. Maybe our heart posture is arrogant and proud, right? And so that's, yeah, to go back to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, you know, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, you know, scorning it, it's shame. And we have a great high priest, guys. We really do, who modeled this. I love how we started this little episode with Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. And go down the list, we want to be like him. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the goal. It's not to know more. It's to love more. And I would say for me, you know, I pray this series has helped you realize how much love God has for you. I mean, Jesus is so committed to you. He is so invested in you. And I love what Romans 2:4 says, do you not know, Paul says, it is the mercy and kindness of God that leads you toward repentance. If I really want to change my life and live out this real love, I have to know how loved I am by our God. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's, you know, that's my challenge for myself, for us. And I guess with the AQ, you know, if and when you do email us, you know, what was the one thing or two things in the series that really stick out to you? Our challenge for you is to go live that out. Go live out this real love, this agape love this week. You know, maybe it was, you know, love is patient. You know, love isn't pushy. Love doesn't force their way. They move at the pace of others. Maybe that, you know, for me, that was one of the things I had to learn. Because I was like, I'm very right. And I know God's word, and this is what you need to do. And that was being pushy. It was not being sensitive to their needs. And it's not wrong to call people up. It is wrong to push them to a place where they can't handle it. And I push my quote right way on them rather than love them where they're at. And so, yeah, whatever the thing was in the series, you know, how can you live that out in your relationships?
That's good. Well, thank you for joining us. Thank you for persevering and sticking to the end here again.
Yeah.
Thank you for your love and encouragement for us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah, truly. 2025 is going to be a great year. And not even for this podcast, or not even for us, but I'm prayerful and hopeful that God is still building his church, and God has never once, like you always say, Puma, God has never lost a generation, and he won't start with this one.
Yep.
Cool. Well, guys, we'll see you here on Fridays at 10:10, start a new series, which I'm really excited for. It has to do, I mean, do you want to spill the beans, Puma?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, stay tuned next time. Fridays at 10:10, and we'll see you in the next series, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye. How's that for a teaser?